Evening, everybody. This is wonderful. Old friends, new friends. Good to see you all. Let's do introductions around before I begin.
Wendy,
Judy,
Ellie,
Dave,
Harry,
Seth,
Karen,
Jeffrey,
Marie,
Paul,
Jennifer,
Pisayo,
Bob,
Angie. We are finishing up a book and preparing to start another one. Both of them are commentaries by Ichiyama Roshi, who was the one who inherited the robe from Kodo Sawaki, with whom my teacher studied in Kyoto when he was in school. He used to slip over to Antaiji and sit with the monks, and Uchiyama Roshi tried to persuade him to come and join them and just stay, but Koban decided to finish his schooling and then go train at Eiheiji, the big monastery. But he was very fond of Kodo Sawaki and of Uchiyama Roshi, and I feel such a connection to that little piece. They were not conventional in the way that Koban was not conventional. When Uchiyama Roshi was asked by Kodo Sawaki Roshi to take over the temple, he said, "Oh, I can't do it. There's no way. It scares me to death to go to the altar. I never know what to do. I'm so clumsy and I break things and it's just awful." And Sawaki said, "It's fine. It's fine. Just be yourself. Do what you want." So he decided he wasn't going to do anything, practically. He had almost no fancy chanting, no services, and everybody just sat and sat and sat and sat and sat. And also he gave wonderful talks, and we have the benefit of that. This is Dogen's first foray into talking to lay practicers, not monks, and so it's especially interesting and helpful for all of us, I think, since none of us is a monk. though sometimes we take a week off and go and live like a monk. And that's one of the joys of this practice, that we're able to do that sometimes, that that's offered as an option, and a very valuable one at that. We just finished that. We had a wonderful week at Jikoji, and we truly were very busy monks. One thinks that it's just sitting in a sort of dream world all the time, but it's actually a lot of practical work, washing many, many dishes, chopping many, many carrots, scrubbing many toilets and sweeping the decks and all of the things that you do in a monastery in order to keep the whole thing going. And so it becomes a very practical business as well as a very spiritual one. So spirituality and practicality live together wherever we are, including the monastery. And that's what this book is about, From the Zen Kitchen to Enlightenment. is the title. And this is instructions to the cook. How to cook. Thank you. How to figure out how much rice to fix for people. And it turns out it's not just measuring, it's figuring out who's hungry and who isn't, who's big and who's small, what the weather is, what the time of day is. All those things the cook has to take into account. And so the cook is actually considered the most more important than the abbot in a monastery. Because the cook, if the food isn't good and it isn't according to the actual situation itself, it doesn't work so well. The sitting doesn't work so well. Very interesting. It's true of our life too. If we're a little careless with our food, the rest of our life gets a little careless too. So tonight we're on question 16. These are a series of questions that presumably lay people are asking Dogen. You know, what makes you think that Zazen is such a great thing? You know, why do we have to sit? Can't we just chant a little bit and go home? What is this all about? And so carefully and slowly he's been answering this, all these questions. And question number 16, see, we're getting close to the end. There are 18 questions. Someone said, some questioner, in Buddha Dharma, those who thoroughly understand the principle that mind itself is Buddha, even if they do not chant sutras with their mouths or practice the Buddha way with their bodies, still lack nothing at all of Buddha Dharma. Simply knowing that the Buddha Dharma exists in the self from the beginning is the perfect accomplishment of the way. Outside of this, you should not seek from other people, much less take the trouble to engage the way in Zazen. Dogen Zenji replied to this question, "These words are total nonsense. It is as if you said, how could anyone with cognition fail to understand when taught this principle? You should know that Buddha Dharma is studied by truly giving up the view which discriminates self and other. You can't separate it. You can't say," which was his basic question when he went to China, everybody is Buddha nature. Everybody doesn't have Buddha nature, but Buddha nature is in everything. So why do we practice?" And Dogen took that question to all the way to China and came back with a realization that that's what Buddha nature does. That's the expression of Buddha nature, is Zazen itself. It's how Buddha nature knows itself, you could say, how the self knows itself, lives itself, expresses itself, realizes itself. He said, if just knowing that the self is itself Buddha was attainment of the way, Shakyamuni would not have taken the trouble in ancient times to give guidance. He tells a story about Gensoku, who'd been in a master's monastery for 3 years. And the master said, "You're a student. Why haven't you ever asked me about Buddha Dharma?" And Gensoku said, "I can't deceive you, teacher. Once when I was in another place, I realized the peace and joy of Buddha Dharma. I've got it already." The master said, "With which words were you able to enter?" Gensoku responded, "I once asked the master, 'What is the self of the student?' In other words, 'What am I?' The master said, 'The fire boy comes seeking fire.'" The master said, "Good words. However, I'm afraid that you did not really understand them." Gensoku said, "My understanding is that the fire boy belongs to fire. Already fire, still he seeks fire, just like being self and seeking self." And the master exclaimed, "Now I really know that you don't understand. If Buddha Dharma was like that, it would not have been transmitted up to today." This is a very famous story. At this, Gensoku was overwrought and immediately left. On the road, he thought, "The master is one of the world's fine teachers and also the guiding teacher of 500 people. Certainly, there must be merit in his pointing out my error." He returned to Hogen and, after doing prostrations and repentance, asked, "What is the self of this student?" The master said, "Fire boy comes seeking fire." With these words, Gensoku was greatly enlightened to Buddha Dharma. Dogen says, "Clearly understand that to comprehend the self is itself Buddha cannot be called understanding Buddha Dharma. If the comprehension that self is itself Buddha was the Buddha Dharma, Zen Master Hogen would not have used that saying for guidance or made such an admonishment. From the time you first meet a good teacher, just genuinely inquire about the manners and standards for practice, single-mindedly engage in the way of Zazen, and do not keep your mind stuck on a single knowledge or half comprehension. The wondrous method of Buddha Dharma is not without meaning." So this is a koan. This tickles your brain if you try to figure it out. But it's a very important point. We cannot say, "I'm Buddha." We cannot walk around being Buddha nature. It's an outrage. It's an aberration. We are what we are. But as soon as we nail something down or get stuck in an idea about what we are, it's all imagination. It's all made up. It's just words and cheap ideas and doesn't touch reality. So Gensoku thought, "Oh yeah, I get it. Yeah, I'm the fire boy and I've been coming seeking fire and I already have it. And so look at me. He will see that I'm Buddha too." And masters, he doesn't know who he is. He doesn't dare be who he is. He's walking around trying to be Buddha. Doesn't work. It's not like that. In a way, it's much more subtle. And in another way, it's very obvious. If we can allow it. So Uchiyama Roshi said, Buddha Dharma is not an abstract concept. The self, in Dogen Zenji's expression, is the self which is actually living as a fresh being. That is, the self that is only the self out of the self. This self experiences the various life experiences. This is the all out of all, the self that is one with the whole universe. This is the true self, which is living right now, right here. Does this self exist as a substantial entity? No. It's always changing. The actual self is not something fixed. We know that when we think about it, but we don't like to think about it. We like to think we're fixed. We like to think we know who we are, even though we say sometimes, oh, I wouldn't do something like that just after we've done it. We surprise ourselves all the time, constantly changing self to self to self. So he ends by saying Buddha Dharma is about the vivid self before conceptualization, before pinning it down with thought. When we express it with words, only words as concepts are transmitted. It's really difficult to transmit Buddha Dharma as vivid reality. The comprehension that self is Buddha is not enough. Just be the self that is itself, Buddha. So it's thinking that gets us caught for all kinds of reasons. It's the wonder of us and the genius of us. But if we depend on it to inform us, it only can go this far, if this far. Words are all pointing to something, but no word can touch what it's talking about. Not any word. And if you know any writers, it's the greatest frustration in the world, because you wrestle with that all the time. Try to touch, and you can't get there. But you can be there. And we are there all the time. It's just a matter of letting go of our ideas about what it is and we are and what we think we should be and have, and just find out. Investigate. Keep watching and listening, learning and living and contributing. It's very lively, very active, Buddha nature. So that's question 16. And there's time for questions. Jennifer?
So shortly after I graduated college, I had this moment of, I'm not a college student.
After you graduated?
Yeah. It was after I finished. I was done. I had a degree. Had this moment of, I'm not a college student. What am I? Is this a similar concept to that?
Yes. Yes. I've just gone through that. I've thought I was young for all these years. And I've had to think lately, darn, I'm not young anymore.
When Leonard Cohen met his Zen teacher for the first time, the Zen teacher said, first thing you need to learn is, you're not Jewish and I'm not Japanese.
Yeah, we all have ideas. And we live those ideas and express them all the time, but we bump up against them all the time too. And those of you who have just retired after many years of work, and you have to put on a new hat and be a new kind of person. And some people have a terrible time with it, and other people just break free. Go off to the mountains. Yeah.
I don't understand the Heart Sutra very well. Every time I read it, I just baffled by it. And especially by the statement that to be aware of the emptiness of the skandhas relieves suffering. How does that relieve suffering? I don't understand that.
It's the same subject. Exactly the same subject. If we're thinking what we think we know what our eyes and our seeing is, but that's just a thought. The seeing is something else. The eyes are something that we can't actually, that we live. And so if we think we can consolidate it and make it into a thing, as a thought thing, what the Sutra is saying is that although we live in a tenuous relationship with seeing, that in truth, that what emptiness means is that it's bigger than that. That we can't tie it down to something. It's not fixed. Nothing is fixed. That's what emptiness really means. No boundaries, really. No edges. And that was the original teaching that people thought they understood from Buddha, that emptiness was one thing and form was something else. And then the realization was that it's the same. But the language is, it's again, the language is so complicated, so clunky. It's big,
so
clunky
hunks.
So
suffering is not real, is that it? I mean, is not permanent,
it's not permanent.
It's not an intrinsic nature.
Right. So, you know, even in sickness, the famous story of the monk who comes to visit a sick monk and asks him how he's doing, and he says, sun face Buddha, moon face Buddha. Some days some way, some days another way. But then we pin ideas on top of that and say, oh, this is a good thing or this is a bad thing. I want more of it. I don't want any of it. And all of that is extra. So thinking You know, we don't get rid of thinking at all, but we put it in its place, respect it deeply, but don't get carried away with it. Allow the wholeness of things to function without being wedded to too many ideas. We have them. We have to. We have to vote, you know. So it's important to develop ideas and preferences, but be willing to let them go when it's time. And be willing to open to others at the same time. Talk to the other side.
I had a similar experience that you had. I went to a reunion, grade school kids. They were all old farts. What happened? They didn't recognize anyone.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm still getting used to that.
Yeah. I don't think we ever quite get used to it, but it's kind of interesting.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's probably enough for a hot night. I went to a Cabrillo concert at San Juan Bautista on Sunday when it was really hot. And there were hundreds of people in that big mission listening to modern music. And everybody was moving very, very slowly, like they were swimming. With glasses of water in their hands. Jeffrey?
Summer haiku. Hot day in August. Even the shade umbrellas appear to need rain.
Oh. Oh.
Very appropriate for California.
And for a drought, yes. Even they are thirsty.
We don't have air conditioning, so I soak a t-shirt in water to sit in front of a fan.
Yes. It works.
It works?
Yeah. Well, let's have our sit. Oh, are there announcements first?
Karen, do you have an announcement?
There are a couple spots for openers this month, and there is a brand new table out in the foyer that you can check out if you feel like opening sometime. If you would like to have access to this table, you can send me an email and I will send you a link to the table. Did that work for anyone that finds this money?
Thank you.
I'll have a 1 minute sit.